Let's look at some things that you might want to, and you won't have to write them down because they're not earth-shaking. Number one, God wants every person on earth to hear the gospel. I do know that different cultures, in different countries, in different locations, may be different kinds of soil. Luke 8 does tell us that there are different kinds of receptivity to the gospel. So I will not tell you that all nations, cultures, or societies are exactly the same soil. It is quite evident that the receptivity to the gospel is quite different in India, Philippines, Guyana, and other parts of the world than it is in Europe or in some South American countries. But God nevertheless wants the gospel. And when the church loses its sight as a body, that is the purpose of our existence, then we have lost it. When a church becomes so enamored with its own wishes and wants and desires and its own enjoyment and entertainment for itself, they have ceased to think first of the reason Jesus died on the cross. Jesus wants every person on earth. You can cut it any way you want to. Now that results, what does that have to do with starting churches? You don't start churches without teaching, without preaching. He wants everyone to hear, and when they do hear, number two, they may hear individually, or they may hear in a group. Now, there is much today being said about the Bible Correspondence Course, and well it ought to. I hear often of numbers of people who took Bible courses and started the church, or the church began without any other assistance or teaching other than what they got from the Bible course, without any quote of us. I've never been a part. I have found many groups who said they were Christians. I have talked with many congregations who claim to be. But when you delve into their teaching and into their faith and into their belief, they would not respect the scriptures concerning many factors. The Holy Spirit, the name, the new birth. Yet they wanted to say that they were the Lord's church. Now, it is no doubt been done. I wouldn't question because only God knows. The point number three, you can teach a person one by one, or you can teach them in mass. But sooner or later, most of the time, I have found that it takes a one-to-one teaching. I have had some preachers to tell me that they didn't like one-to-one teaching. And if they mean by that they find more enjoyment and fulfillment in preaching to groups of people, I have to give them that. But very little until you and I see the value of one-to-one teaching, or two people, or a family. Don't hold up your hand. But how many one-to-one studies have you done in the last... Well, I'm too busy. Busy what? You can't plant and build, start churches and grow churches until you and I see the value of the one. No, I'm not discounting group preaching publicly. No. There is a dynamic possible in public preaching that is not possible in one-to-one. There is a psychology possible in mass preaching or in group preaching that is not accomplished in one-to-one. That's true. There are some things that may be said in group preaching that you might not want to say or find it expedient to say just in one-to-one. But when you and I, as local preachers who are supposed to be supported in order to teach the gospel, don't have time to preach the gospel one-to-one, no wonder the church isn't growing. Now you say, well, my task is something else. Okay, fine. But generally speaking, yeah, but nobody wants. There are more prospects than we'll ever get to. They're right there before us somewhere. It may be at the hospital. It may be boosters at church, somebody's husband, wife, son, or daughter. They're everywhere. One of the problems we have today in the church is a profound, a problem that God's church has, is profound ignorance of the Word. You want to know why we don't develop churches? We don't start them because we don't get out there in the wild and preach and teach and teach that person. Go out, where could I go? Listen to me. You can preach anyway. You know what it takes to preach? A string of lights and a few chairs. Well, but that's old time, all right? Let it be old time. Go to the civic center. Go to the local library that will rent you a place. Go. There's 100 places that you can advertise and get people to come and hear the gospel in some way. It takes some ingenuity, it takes some praying, it takes some thinking, it takes some planning, it takes some want to. And we often talk about people falling away, and there are many of them that's happening. And you won't ever keep the majority of the people simply by expecting them to hear the gospel on Sunday. Go to them. Don't hold up your hand. How many of you have a Bible study with a family that's a new Christian? Maybe they've just been a Christian. Maybe they've been a Christian 10 years and maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they had trouble in the family. Maybe they got disappointed when the preacher moved. I don't know what it was, but they got discouraged and you've missed them a Sunday or two or three or four. And somebody said, well, I don't believe I saw John Sue. No, why don't you go by and visit and set up a Bible study with them? Well, they already know the gospel. They don't know that's gospel. What's going to save them? The Word. God can't work without the Word. He can't build up. The Spirit can't grow within us. The faith cannot grow. Set up a study with them. Teach them in their home. There's an audience. There's souls. You can see I don't have all the answers. And I don't say that just to make you think I'm humble. There are so many questions that come up in dealing with the church and people that I don't know the answer to. There are so many questions that come up. I'm often wrong in matters of judgment. We spend about, you know, one of the reasons why many churches, they can start, but they don't develop. And one of the basic problems why many churches don't develop, especially on the mission field, quote, whether it be a mission field, and I don't know if that's the right expression or not, but in the field where there are very few congregations, it can be in this country or it can be another one, is because we're too stingy with our money. You can't build a church. You can't preach the gospel. You can't get out there with where the people are. You can't get the job done without money. And I'm not talking about paying the preacher. I'm talking about whatever it costs, or rental of the building, or printing, or advertising, or whatever it is. Spend some money. Our work fund in Romania is a minimum of $10,000 a month. That's not my salary. My salary is $500,000, but I'm not counting that. But the work fund is without major projects, is $10,000. What do you use that for? For everything? Man, there's a question here about, what a question is. When a new congregation is established, how long should it be before it becomes self-sufficient? When you slow down and stop supporting that foreign church? I don't know. It is a problem. I would say that our whole outlook on missions needs to be reworked, but that'd be an overstatement, maybe. I do know that we must teach the people on the field, whether it be foreign field or in this field, how to sacrifice and how to give financially. And often we do provide so much monetarily that they do not have to learn that, and how they do not learn that. But I believe that's a valid question. But I don't think there's any pat answer. I do not think, for example, in Romania, there are now 7 churches. If we have 11 preachers, none of them get paid, would it be wrong to pay them? No. But their contribution is not what it ought to be. One of them that has a nice building, last year, in 1 month, the natural gas bill was $1,000. They couldn't pay it. So what do you do? I don't know all the answers. But we must try to teach them, like you do your children, to not expect everything to be given to them. I don't know how you do that exactly, but it's a valid question. It's one you need to work on, and there is no pat answer as to, I know churches right now that are 40 and 50 years old in the foreign field that are still getting support from America after 40 or 50 years. Is that wrong? No, I'm not wise enough to stand up and tell you that's wrong. You say, Harvey, all you've done, that's what you said, all you've done is raise questions. That's fine. But I didn't raise a question on how you start a church and how you grow a church, and that is teach, 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 teach. Read through the book of Acts. When Jesus went to another city, why? To have coffee and tea? To preach. It's what it said. That's what the book said. There is no, well, I got more of them here. Learn from everybody else. When you start a church or plan to begin a church, talk to people that have done it before. Talk to brethren that live in that area. Talk to others who know something about where you're going, the culture, whether it's in another country or this country. Listen to others. I have been amazed at how many times young preachers and older preachers have reinvented the wheel They don't want to ask anybody anything. They want to do it. They want to learn it for themselves. Why? I can remember an old brother, Decker. Brother Floyd A. Decker. Left the Christian church, became a gospel preacher, gave up the instrument and so forth. And over in Louisiana, taught me more than a little bit. He says, why is it that you always are asking me questions? I want you to learn. I used to do tent meeting. I did 8 years of tent meeting work. A little tent would seat 1,000 people. I learned that from my little brother, but I also learned it from the Fogarty Boys. And most of you are too young to remember the Fogarty Brothers. They had a tent that would seat 3,000. And I said, well, if they can do it with 3,000, I can do it with 1,000. You put that thing up all over the country. Oh, there's a few preachers said, man, who's got the audacity? Who's he think he is? I ain't nothing but a preacher. I'm nothing but a Christian. You are too. You can do whatever you and God depend to do. Quit being sorry for yourself. Quit whining. Quit thinking that you're nobody. Don't think that you're going to be a preacher someday. You are. Oh, no, don't pretend that you're not, that you're something you're not. Somebody wrote one time that I graduated from Harding with a BA degree. Man, I couldn't wait to tell them, hey, that's not true. I didn't have enough hours to have a degree, but I flunked kinesiology. Didn't want to take Greek. So I didn't get a degree. For 20 years, when James Bale saw me, he said, Stalin, did you ever finish that degree? Nope. Train other men and women. I heard it all my life, and you have too. It's better to train 10 men to work than it is to do the work of 10 people, or 10 men. What little success we've had in the mission field, it's because the local people learned how to do what had to be done. I would have been gone from Romania this time already 6 or 7 weeks. Nobody there. Except 7 congregations of preachers, including 11 preachers, and they're preaching and carrying on the services just like the Lord was there without me. And Trinity is. We trained them. That's how we have to in this country. Now don't give somebody a task that they cannot handle, and you know they cannot handle, they don't have the background to handle it. Use some judgment. But we must train our people. I worked with Peter Solomon 100 years ago in India for 15 or 20 years. He was a smart man, a man of faith. In Madras, still called Madras, it's Chennai. City of what? 5 or 6 or 7 million people. I don't know how many churches there are in that city. I don't keep up with it anymore. I still stay in touch with Solomon. We don't support him. But they have between 900 and 1,000 every Sunday. You know why? Because they had some leaders. They learned. I don't have to do everything. I need to teach. I believe that you can begin and build a local church of the Lord in any given place on the face of this earth. Years ago, I used to go to mission forums at sunset. And they were all, we were all the time praying that God would use us. And a lot of them were interested in Russia, China. And a lot of brethren are there, and there's a lot of brethren I understand are working in China as English teachers or whatever. But I was afraid to pray for the Lord to use me in China. Because I'd be on an airplane going, and I didn't want to go to China. I'm telling you that you can go where you want to go. With God's help. I heard a brother one time preaching a lectureship I'm a part of the same brotherhood as you are. I'm just as guilty as you. I'm no better. But he asked the question, why are we all gathered up down here in Texas, Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, and Tennessee, when the whole world needs the gospel? Why are we all here? Well, there's a place for us. And I'm not telling you to move to Minnesota or Wisconsin or Maine or Africa tomorrow. But somehow, let's think in terms of evangelism. Let's keep thinking in terms of going out. Let's think in terms of what we can do with God's grace and God's power and God's help to plant churches and to grow churches. How are you going to do it? Teach, 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 teach. What are you going to teach? I don't mean the journeys of Paul. I don't mean memorizing the books of the Bible. Well, let me ask. I got to 3 o'clock. What is the theme of the Bible to you? I talked to one person that had been studying with a Muslim or a Muslim. This person said that they had spent 2 hours proving to that person that you couldn't use an instrument of music in worship. Is that where you start? Don't misunderstand me. You try to teach the whole counsel of God, but you need to determine what the core of the Bible message is, and what, you know, I've taken men, especially men, who have taught Bible classes and been elders for years, years, that couldn't even teach one Bible study when they got to the mission field. We didn't know where to start. How about you? You can't start a church if you don't know how to do a one-to-one Bible study. You can't start a church, you can't grow a church. Well, Harvey, I wanted you to give me all the magic formula. I'm sorry. All I've done is muddle up your mind. You said, preach. I have another point here somewhere. I don't know what to say about our attitudes. There was a local congregation over in Florida one time, not too many years ago, that asked me to help them get them a local preacher. I said, well, I know some fellows that might be interested. What's your work plan? I'd been there in a meeting. I couldn't tell what their plan was. And they said, well, I said, what kind of preacher you want? What are you wanting to do? What is your aim? And here's what they said. We want to reach the right, middle class, morally upright America. That's a disgrace and nigh blaspheme in the name of God. When we see people, we don't see anybody but people. Jesus had time for the tax collector. He had time for the woman at the well. He had time for the woman taken in adultery. He had time for the poor. He had time for the... It didn't matter. People were people. Oh, everybody's not the same. I know that. Talent-wise and nationality and ability. But they're people. What's happened, there's a figure show, I don't know where they get them. There are no less congregations in this country and less number of Christians than there were, 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know. There was a man from this country that went to Romania as a teacher, one teacher. I didn't take him, but another man did who had been working with me. And he came back, it was several years ago. In fact, it was in probably about 97, 98. He came back and he told the congregation publicly that all we had in Petest, the city where we started, were misfits, crazy folks, when I was told that, maybe if I'd met, I called him on the phone. I said his name. I said, "Did you say that?" He said, "I did." "Why'd you say that?" "Well, it's true. We had two or three idiots in the one race that came every Sunday. We had death. We had five death. We had some poor. Had a few others." And he said, "That's all you got there. You don't ever amount to anything." I said, "Let me ask you, who do you associate with?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "When you do your work as a local preacher, who do you associate with?" I said, "In the last week, during the week, who have you been with?" Well, he named an elder or two and a deacon and some good friends, but in the court. I said, "How often do you associate with the fringe of the congregation? Don't you think that there's some people in the church where you are that have problems and are sick and are not stable emotionally, or who may have some disability that you would classify like you classify those people?" "Well, I don't know. I don't ever see those people." That's the problem. We can't build churches until we see the beauty and the value of God's creatures, and we go one to one. How long has it been? You won't ever build a church. You won't ever start a church. You won't ever grow a church until we get down to the one to one. All public preaching, I love it. But if I'm not interested enough in that one, blessed are the pure in heart. Wayne, thank you, brother. Well, Wayne, he didn't got it. Well, I thought you done had your bucket full and left. Thank you for your kindness, for all that has been done to the congregation, to the eldership, to the staff. Don't ever quit. Make this bigger and better every year. Men need to be trained. Men need to be encouraged. We need to do that as the church. Keep on doing this. Make it what it ought to be. Better and better. And the fact that you men will take your time to come and try to build your faith and build your knowledge to help further strengthen and mature the church where you are, and even dream of starting new churches in this country and other countries, is a commendation and a great thing that you have done. Thank you for your love and for your care. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together. Thank you for all of these men and women who have sacrificed to come to try to learn better how to teach your gospel privately and into the masses of lost humanity. Be with our families, Father. Thank you for those who have helped us and loved us through the years. We thank you for your love and for the assurance that we have in Christ. In the name of the Lord, we do pray and amen.